It's showtime.
Hey, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? My name is Jake Shadell. This is a podcast about reality television and friendship in which I ask my best friend Thomas Powell if he did indeed watch a certain reality show. Thomas, I am rushing through the intro because I'm so excited to talk about this finale. How you doing?
We have a lot to get to.
Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about here.
There is. And let me tell you, I'm out of town this weekend. I'm in... What town is this? Watervliet, Michigan. Only a couple hours from you. Okay.
I'm sorry, you were saying...
But I was gonna... When I got here, I was gonna transcribe my notes from my notebook to the Word document that I use to read off of while we're recording... We have to pay for that. You know how expensive that song is?
I'm only using like 5 seconds of it.
Okay.
And we're talking.
We are talking over it, which, legally speaking, is fine.
And I'm clearly using it for satirical purposes.
Yeah, fair use.
Yep.
Okay. Don't come after us, Nelly. Also, that's not the first Nelly song we've even used on this show. We did Heart of the Champion,
If Nelly got litigious, I would be sweating. Just like I'm sweating now, because...
Great satire. Great bits on this very good show. Everybody loves this show. It's the best show on Apple Podcasts. Thomas, let's just get into it. I'm not going to tell my story about how it's hot, or I forgot my notebook and had to use
how it's so hot in
her. Recap to do my notes. But anyway, I'll just ask you straight out of the gate. Did you watch Survivor Ghost Island last night for the last time ever?
Boy, did I.
This week's episode was called It's Game Time, Kids. Pretty good title. Agree? Disagree?
Yeah, I thought it was good. Okay. I think the title would have been better if it was.
So you think a better title would have been Hot In, period, period, period.
So hot. Those are called ellipses. So hot in her.
So hot in here.
No.
Okay. Oh, excuse
hot
me.
Hot in her.
Hot in her.
That's why there's two R's, Jake.
Two R's. Hot in her. Thick. Two C's. What are some other words? Alligator. Two L's. I was in a Lyft on
Millennium.
Friday.
Two L's and two N's.
Millennial.
Willennium. Two L's and two N's.
Two Princes. Right? Is that what the band is called?
The band is Spin Doctors.
Spin Doctors. Spin Plural. Doctors. Two S's. And two O's. Do you think this is probably one of the best bits we've ever had to open the show when we just list words and then the letters within those words?
Yeah, pretty good.
It's a pretty good bit. Everybody loves this show. All right, let's get into... Okay, so for the listener, let me explain why Thomas is doing this so much. We were making some jokes before we were recording about how it was so hot, and Thomas said, just wait a second. I need to load something. And I said, okay. And then I was telling some dumb story. And I forgot that Thomas had been loading something. And then I heard this song start playing. And I was like, oh, is that what you just spent 3 minutes prepping?
Look, Spotify takes a while to boot up sometimes.
And now you just gotta get your clicks in.
I got it, man. I've got it on hand. I gotta use it when I can.
You gotta use it. If you don't use it, you lose it. That's a Nelly lyric. Nelly, two L's. Oh my god. Okay, so I just got an email from WWE Network, a thing I unfortunately subscribed to, and it said, the subject line was, the truth hurts, and then the body of the email said, Camp WWE is back. Like, why would you promote your
the
network?
The moment you've all been dreading.
We're sorry to report. Camp WWE is back. I don't know why we keep making this show.
You can ignore it no longer. This thing is back, and we're not happy about it.
Okay, so that ends wrestling talk for this week. Let's get into this first challenge, because this episode was challenge after tribal after challenge after tribal, and it was great. The first challenge was the biggest maze they have ever done on the game Survivor. They had to pick up 3 bags of puzzle pieces and then complete the puzzle. It was cool, I guess.
Yeah.
I thought
the puzzle was cool. Otherwise, yeah. It was just a bigger version of the same challenge that they always do.
Basically, I think the mass of the maze is what the producers were most excited about.
In awe of the size of this maze.
An absolute unit, yes. So, unsurprisingly, Wendell leads throughout. The puzzle was one of those, like, vertical puzzles, which I think are really cool, because you have to...
Yeah,
it's kind of a balance thing as well as a puzzle, which is
It
cool.
Literally and figuratively adds another dimension to the challenge.
4D. Survivor in 4D.
Just like that Muppets thing at Disney World.
The ride?
No, there's like a Muppets in 4D thing that they do.
Oh, I guess I haven't been to Disney World.
They might not do it anymore. This is a thing that they did when I went there when I was like 9.
You know what else happened when you were 9 years old? Survivor Borneo premiered.
What, in 2000?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I would have been 8 when it premiered.
You're probably right. Well, maybe by the finale you were 9. We'll check the dates.
Joke's on you, asshole.
I was
8.
Actually slightly younger. Well, I was 9 when it premiered, because I'm a few months older than you.
You were the best kind of wrong. Technically wrong.
Okay, so Wendell won the challenge, and then upon completing the puzzle, he yelled very loudly, "Jeff Probst!" And Jeff said, "What?" with the biggest grin on his face. He was eating this up, and he said... he thinks he got it done, and then Jeff gives him the win. He gets a steak dinner, and then gets to choose 2 people to bring with him. On the reward, he picks Seabass, and he says he picks Seabass to repay him for when Seabass took him on the loved one's visit. But actually, it's so that he can secure Seabass's jury vote. Wendell, pretty good player.
Really smart.
Really glad I picked him before the season even started. It's like pretty smart on my part.
Yeah, it's
you know?
A shame that you abandoned him.
Well, I just like
but
too
you know,
much of a good thing, you know.
But you know who was there to pick up the pieces? I was. And
Wendell
I,
was when he completed that
I
puzzle.
I never lost faith in him after our second pick.
Well, you know, I just didn't want to be too repetitious. I don't think that's fun for the game that we play, you know? And that's really what's most important to me, is our points, you know?
I will say, if anybody ever wants to win Survivor, just interact with this podcast.
Yeah.
Because we're 2 for 2.
Yeah. At least. He also brings Angela for the same reason, but says it's because she hasn't gotten anything yet. It's a fine reason. Seabass tells Donathan and Angela about his extra vote and how they should blindside Dominic. And then Angela tells Dominic about Seabass's extra vote. What is Angela's strategy throughout any of this game?
Her strategy is literally, like, coming third. Like, that was the ceiling to her entire plan.
I asked my mom if she had watched it, and she said no. And then she was like, let me try to remember everybody who's left, the final 6. And she got through everybody, and then she was like, and who's that last woman? She was like, there's the 4 boys, and then there's 2 women. Laurel, and I was like, yep. And then she goes, and somebody else. And I was like, yes, what is her name? She's like, what does it start with? I said, A. It starts and ends with an A. She guessed ABBA before she guessed Angela. Unfortunately, it's not ABBA, but
that
I would so watch that show.
Great, that is both great mom behavior and very telling.
Yeah,
I literally forgot she was there when the final 4 was there.
So did I. There was...
We should shorten her name to Anne, because every single time I'm either her? Like, who or her?
When, you know, they do like the character summaries to introduce the finale... I literally forgot she was playing as her summary was playing. I forgot she was still in the game. Like, she was purple edited even more than Chelsea was. And
Chelsea did stuff!
Yeah!
Chelsea was, like, actually an important player.
Yeah. Angela... She's so forgettable.
Angela won one challenge. That is the sum total. Like, that and her narking on Seabass are, like, the only things she did.
She narked on everybody. I guess she is in the military, so I guess that makes sense. Fucking narc. Fuck Angela and her nationalism.
This is an anti-imperialist podcast.
Yep. First tribal council. Donathan figures that he is going home. Dominic says that he doesn't believe Donathan's act. Then he pulls out his two idols, one of which is real and one of which is fake. And then Wendell and Donathan have a brief spat where they end every jab with bro, and it's very fun. And then Dominic hands Jeff David's fake idol from Millennials vs. Gen X and claims that it is a real idol. Then they all vote, but before Jeff reads the votes, Dominic gets up and reads the paperwork explaining that this idol is actually fake. And it was like, okay, fine, who gives a shit? Also, I thought Final Six was the last chance to play an idol. It's apparently Final Five.
Yeah, I was confused as well.
I think it's kind of Kelvin Ball with that.
That is actually a very good point.
I think it should be Final Six. I think you should... I don't think you should be able to make it to Final Four off an idol play.
No, I agree.
I think you need to survive a real tribal via the votes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's too... Especially because... Yeah, you shouldn't be able to determine the final three by hoarding idols. That's not the way it should go.
It's just boring. You know? I want to see them fight for it. And I mean, I understand that, like, holding on to an idol as much as possible.
And we didn't need them either, is the thing with this one.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a completely it just took the... You know, it ruined the anticipation of the vote, and it didn't actually change the vote.
Yeah, because even if Wendell or Dominic had gotten the majority of the votes in the Final Five tribal, we knew that neither of them were going home. We knew it was going to be Angela or Laurel.
And we knew that they
weren't going to vote out Laurel.
The one thing that it did, which would have been the same if they had, they had to play it in Final Six, because Wendell still would have had to play his, and he still had individual immunity.
Yeah.
Is him playing it for Laurel, which I think really helped shore up
her vote. Yeah.
Her loyalty. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Dominic gets up and reads the papers. Dominic gets the first vote, which is from Donathan. Donathan gets a vote, which is from Seabass, and Seabass gets all the rest of the votes. So they just, like, abandoned their plan. Like, why? You got a good plan, guys.
Yeah, the bottom players did not have a great round six through four.
They, like, all season they've been talking about this GOAT alliance is going to overtake the big dogs. Woof, woof, woof. And they had a really good chance to do it. They had so many good chances to pull the trigger, and nobody ever did.
They just weren't... They weren't in the same weight class in terms of plays. Like, they just weren't... I think Donathan was a good player, but I think Seabass never really had to do much as far as it goes, and I think the moment was too big for him, and Angela is... maybe the worst player ever to make it to the Final Four.
We'll have to go back through all the seasons to see.
She's at least on the fucking short list.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Okay, next immunity challenge is the usual collect some puzzle pieces while going through some obstacles, but the puzzle is a four-piece pyramid, which was cool. Wendell won again, and then back at camp, Dominic said he thought that the top of the puzzle would be flat. That's not a pyramid, dude. That's a cube. You were thinking of a cube. A pyramid has a pointy top. That's what makes it a pyramid.
Yeah, but maybe he thought it was going to be like the Illuminati pyramid that's on the dollar bill
that's a triangle too. Oh, but yeah,
it's got like the cutoff top and then the triangle part's floating over top of it. Maybe he thought that's
maybe
what
he thought
be.
He had to hold the triangle above it. It was like, hey, Jeff, you know the Illuminati, you know? Jay-Z?
Jeff's like, shut up, you're ruining, you're blowing up my spot.
We're not supposed to talk about this. But yes, you are involved, and you are right. You got the puzzle right, but you didn't win immunity. At the second tribal council of the evening, Donathan explains that he isn't going to beat anyone in the final immunity challenge, so they don't have to worry about that, and then they vote. Dominic and Wendell look at each other trying to figure out who will play their idol first, and Wendell says, I'll let you go first. Dominic asks if he's got a big finale planned, and Wendell says, a little one. So Dominic plays his idol, and then Wendell, a true friendel, gets up and talks about how Laurel reminds him of his sister, and thanks her for her loyalty, and his loyalty to her, and their alliance. So he plays his idol for her, and then Donathan gets the boot. And then we get to the final immunity challenge. They really run through this, huh?
They do. I just on how these things played out, I think Dom would have made a move to try and take Wendell out if he hadn't won both of those
immunity. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He talked about it.
Yep. Whereas Wendell was too loyal to do that, which I think speaks very well of him.
Yeah. I think Wendell, yeah, I don't know why he would.
Because Wendell could have gotten him out.
He could have, yeah. But he didn't. I guess nobody approached him at Final Six.
Yeah, which is another failure of the bottom people, is not immediately going to Wendell and being like, Hey,
this is your biggest threat.
You want to win, right?
You might not beat this guy. You're going to beat the rest of us.
Yeah, like Donathan or Seabass should have been pushing for that.
I think Seabass lives very much in the moment and was not planning ahead at any point.
Well, and Donathan, it made sense too because he could get Laurel on board for that.
Yeah. He could have. He would have had to make a very strong argument to get her to jump ship, but I think it could have been possible.
Well,
if Seabass and Angela were stronger players.
Yeah, if they locked down, like, basically all you would have had to do is lock down a final three of Wendell, Laurel, and he would be, like, the classic coattail-riding third member.
Yeah.
But he'd make a big move to do it, and then, obviously, the other people are going to vote for that because it gets, to that point, the strongest player out of the game. So,
yeah.
Like, it would have been a no-brainer.
And, I really don't understand why. They could have gotten Dominic out so easily.
They could have.
At six. But Donathan still could have done the same.
The thing is, though, is, I mean, we don't see everything. Maybe somebody
True.
Did. Maybe somebody did approach Wendell, and maybe he was like,
and
I...
just didn't put it in
yeah,
the edit.
And he didn't want, you know, he wanted to take Dominic to the final three.
It's possible. Yeah.
If that's the case, I respect that.
Yeah. They were also telling a very specific story throughout the season, which no one was aware of until the final vote. So it makes sense that if they did approach him in the finale to take out his buddy, that they wouldn't put it in the episode. Okay, so final immunity challenge. They've got to stand on a wobbly beam and stack six balls. Wendell gets super close, but then drops his stack. Dominic wins. Jeff gives him the necklace and a secret parchment, which he tells him to open during their field trip to Ghost Island. Everybody's going to Ghost Island this time. Final Four Ghost Island trip. Fun stuff. So this is the first time that Dominic and Laurel visited Ghost Island the entire season. Isn't that interesting? I found that interesting. I feel like everybody should have gone. Right?
Yeah, they really did not use Ghost Island... You know, they kind of wasted a very good concept, and luckily they had a really good cast to pick up the slack.
Yeah. We had Laurel, we had Kellen, both very good players. Angela, I mean, who can forget Angela? Seabass was so fun. Donathan, always talking. Such a good dude. I love that guy. And then I think that's probably, like, everybody. And then there's, like, pre-merge people, of course.
The guy that got eliminated first...
I love him.
The Bob Ross hair.
He got eliminated second. His name is my name too, Jacob. That's me.
Wait,
that
who got
me.
Oh, he didn't get eliminated because he went to Ghost Island. That's right.
Yeah, he was the first one on Ghost Island, and then he died.
Who did get eliminated first?
I think her name was Stephanie Gonzalez, because there were two
Stephanies. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was going to be like, how are we going to differentiate? Because I'm producing and editing.
I was like, oh, never mind.
I guess we don't have to worry about that too much. Ah, the times we've had. They don't do the Fallen Soldiers segment anymore, so we've got to do it. Let's try to run through everybody who got eliminated. There was Gonzalez, and there was Jacob. Was James next? Are you looking it up?
I think so.
And then there was the other Stephanie. Am I right?
Sick.
Then Bradley got eliminated at some point. There's so many people that I just don't remember. I don't know. Are you looking it up right now? I can't even... What are you even playing right now?
God damn it. Here we go.
Why are you... What is this?
This is the thing WWE famously played on the Memorial episode they did infamously for Chris Benoit before they found out that he had actually murdered his family. The song is called Leave the Memories Alone by Fuel.
So yes, all the eliminated players, leave their memories alone.
Okay, so everybody makes their case to Dominic to bring them to Final Tribal Council. He thinks Angela has a better chance of beating Wendell in the fire-making challenge, so he tells her that, and then they practice making fire together. Later, Dominic climbs to the top of Ghost Island. I think they should have done a better job of illustrating the size of Ghost Island. Because they, like... The way they presented him climbing Ghost Island, it seemed like it was a trek, right? Like, he had to climb to the top of Ghost Island.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, oh, well, that could have just been, like, 50 yards away. Like, we don't know. So we don't, like, I don't know how tall that island was. I don't know the size of it. Maybe it wasn't big, and that's why they didn't show us. But they should have picked a different island if that's the case. Anyway.
You know what? Honestly, like... thinking now of, like, people that were eliminated, you know what Survivor should do, especially because it's on CBS, just like the NCAA tournament, and they would have this song, the rights to the song, they should do the One Shining Moment video that they do and just show, like, a bunch of highlights of everybody.
What they should do when people get eliminated is what American Idol used to do when they'll play Bad Day by David Powder. Remember that song?
Yep.
I believe
it was actually Daniel Powter, but...
hey, here's my thinking. Who gives a shit?
I was gonna say, I believe I'm the one who's owned by, by knowing what his actual name was, but, I was thinking that, or, that Paul Walker memorial song that, like, Wiz Khalifa did on the Fast... Sick soundtrack.
Oh my god. Have there really been three movies since he died? Or Fast 9? What's
no,
the last one called?
The last one was the eighth one, I think. Or wait,
Fate,
was
Fate
it?
Fate of the Furious, right?
Fate of the Furious, yeah.
Because Fate 8, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
God. But the ninth one has to be coming out.
Maybe it was Fast. Maybe it was Fast 7. I think Paul Walker was in 6. I think Fast 7 might have been the one that he... died while they were filming.
Oh, and then they got his brother to shoot his back.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart. Okay, so Dominic climbs to the top of Ghost Island. He reads the note, which tells him that he has to pick one of three cursed urns from previous Final Tribal Councils for the jury to place the votes in. One is from the Australian Outback, which we will be watching next summer, probably. Colby took Tina over Keith, who I... have forgotten about, and then he lost. The second one's from Kageyan, when Wu took Tony over Chaos Cass, and then lost. And the third is from Game Changers,
Man, that's a three, like a group of three people where the winner obviously should have been Wu because fuck the other two people, yeah. But of course Tony won.
Yeah, well, yeah, Tony, I mean, we'll watch Kaguya-an in like 30 seasons, in 30 summers, but I assume we'll still be doing this show.
Yeah, of course. But anyway, Wu is cool, and
Wu, I love Wu.
Yeah, Tony is not.
No. I mean, Kaguya-an still has one of the best casts, and people love that season. I did not like Tony very much at the time, and still don't too much. I think he's annoying. But that cast was fantastic. Yeah, the three of them,
that
and
chaos
Spencer
cast.
And Tasha. That's good. That's a good one. It was a good cast. Yeah, that's one of the ones he can choose. And the last one is from Game Changers. So many references to Game Changers this season. Not necessary.
Game Changers.
Game Changers. Brad took Sarah over Ty, and then
that was
lost.
Great to see Brad's dumb face when he lost.
When we saw his middle manager mustache again.
Yep, and he's just like,
and t-shirt, not t-shirt, but button down. Excuse me. These. Dominic picks the urn from Kaguya-an, which makes sense because this season has been all about loyalty, and Wu's game in Kaguya-an was also about loyalty. But Dom picks it because he wants to think that people see some of Tony in him. It's like, I guess, because you're a loud, brash New Yorker.
I don't think you want to compare that because, like, you're actually cool.
Yeah. I mean, They're both loud Survivor players. And they're both aggressive Survivor
players. One of them is a better player, though.
Yeah, Tony, because he won. Dom thinks that he is actually the best person to beat Wendell in the fire-making challenge, so he considers bringing Laurel to the final three, but then giving up immunity to Angela and facing off with Wendell himself. Which I really wish had happened. That would have been so fun.
That would have been really cool, but also
especially
you look like
if
such,
had lost.
You look like such a fucking chump if you don't do it.
You know Jeff would have eaten that up, though.
Oh, he would have absolutely let him do it.
Yeah, of course.
On this season of all seasons, too.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it's cursed. Your buddy got to this point because he has an idol in which somebody did this exact thing. At this exact point, too. No, I think that was the final five, Eric's idol. Or was it four? No, it was four. That would have been really good. Talk about parallelism. Anyway, that doesn't happen. Tribal Council, Dominic brings Laurel. Wendell is not surprised. There are two tables for the fire-making challenge. One has a purple flag, one has an orange flag. Wendell tells Jeff that he does not want to sit at the orange table, and Jeff tells him that based on where they are sitting, he will end up sitting at the orange table. And then Angela says it doesn't matter to her, so they agree to switch seats.
Fatal mistake.
And then the person sitting at the purple table, who is Wendell, wins, because orange is cursed, actually.
I was preparing myself for Angela to win this because it would be the most Angela thing that happened all season.
Wouldn't it? Wouldn't
but
it?
But actually, it turned out it would have been the second most Angela thing to happen all season because what actually happened was the most Angela thing.
Very on brand.
She got completely fucking exposed.
Yeah, the way that Dominic was talking about her fire making ability, I was like, oh, this might actually be a challenge. And she couldn't even get the fire started.
That's the thing is, I was like, I bet she can do it. Like, that was that's why I was worried. I was like, I think she can do it. But Wendell, I mean, the thing is, even if she had been better at it, Wendell crushed it.
Yeah, he
absolutely crushed it.
Who was it early on in the season who was saying that they keep up with the fire overnight? Was it Dominic and Kellen?
I don't remember.
You remember somebody saying that, though, right?
Vaguely, yeah.
Somebody else look it up for us. We're done with the season. We're on to Borneo now.
That was with Wendell, though. I think that that might have been the fastest I've seen someone do that. And literally, it was like, I think there was a good 10 to 15 seconds tacked onto it because the wind kept blowing the flame around, so it was burning different parts of the rope. Like, it wasn't even close.
What do you think of this fire-making challenge?
Oh, I like overall? It.
A lot of people don't like it. I think it's a really good idea. It makes a lot of sense for the show. One, because Final Four often comes down to fire even without this twist. And two, if you can't make fire, you don't deserve a spot in the finals. Like, you should have to prove yourself in that way. I think it makes a lot of sense.
No, I agree. And I think also the Final Four, it removes, like, I think with Final Four, a lot of times, well, that, and it can remove a goat. It's a good way to pick that off. And it adds some more, like, uncertainty. Whereas, like, I feel like the Final Four, a lot of times, you know who is getting voted out.
Yeah, and it's, that makes it more compelling. I was reading the Entertainment Weekly recap of it, and the guy writing made the same point. It was like, you don't know what's going to happen in this. So that, like, makes it more exciting, because going into the finals, or going into the finale, you're like, okay, this is the final six. Based on the edit, it's obviously going to be this person or this person. But, hey, if one of those people ends up in the fire challenge, you know, that might not be the case. Or if they both do. I think people dismiss it because of how it was introduced last season. And because it benefited Ben so well in a season that was, like, built for him. But I think after another season or two with it, especially since players know now that it's happening, I think people will get used to it and end up actually liking it. I think people like it.
That's the thing. I think it is bad when it is a thing that is revealed. Like, it was bad for that season because it was, like, basically a Deus Ex Machina that was revealed to hand the game to Ben. Whereas if it's something that you know about going in, I think it's good.
I agree. When Dominic, or not Dominic, when Wendell is very close to winning, he looks back over at Dom with, like, very steely-eyed.
Oh, that ruled.
And it's like, oh, this is a good story.
Ice water in his veins, baby.
Wendell wins. There's no more time for anything but Final Tribal Council, which means it's about time we talked about the last wildlife shots of the season. We got some dolphins. We've talked about dolphins in the past, I think. We got your boy, Roland the Bat.
Always there. I'm going to miss him when we go to Borneo.
You know, he might have a cousin. You don't know. Might have a cousin over in...
His cousin, Nico the Bat.
I fucking hope there's another bat so we can call him Nico. There was a hermit crab. And then there were some ants surrounding, I think, a dead crab. So I looked up ants of Fiji. Guess what I found?
It'd be great if it was just, like, normal ants.
Yeah.
Only regular ants around here.
There are 144 different species and subspecies of ants on Fiji.
Damn.
Each one has its own article. I was going to say on Wikipedia, but not on Wikipedia. Actually, on a website called antwiki.org.
Well, this whole, you built up the anticipation, but it ended up being very anticlimactic.
Thomas, I'm only, like, an hour and a half from you. I'm driving to your house and murdering you for that joke. I think this is good news, because it looks like we're going to stay on Fiji for a while, at least for upcoming seasons. We've got 143 more ants to talk
about.
Just
got to go through all these ants.
Wildlife Shots has some new life in it, and that life is ants. Okay, the ant that it might have been in the episode, did not look up the pronunciation for this, Anocytus Graefi. Anocytus Graefi is how that animal's name is spelled.
The only ants I care about is the movie ants.
The only ants, the only ants I care about are my uncle's wives.
Boom.
There we go.
Take that, ants. Take that, Woody Allen.
Yeah, fuck Woody Allen.
You fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, fuck you for all that shit. It's like, remember in high school when you were, like, first introduced to Woody Allen? You're like, oh, wow, Annie Hall's a really good movie. And then you, like, got more into some of his other stuff.
Yeah.
And
what,
then you, like
what?
Learned who Woody Allen actually was.
Like what, Jake? What other movies?
Oh, Manhattan?
You're forgetting something very important here, Jake. Especially for it being a high school experience with Woody Allen.
Did we watch something of his? Oh, What's Up, Tiger Lily? Oh, my God. Okay. So this is for the listener. I had this. We did something in high school called Movie Club, which was basically this podcast before this podcast.
Yeah, we just hung out with our friends. It was fun.
We just hung out with our friends and put a movie on in our English teacher's room.
Or sometimes just Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, there were not a lot of rules to Movie Club, but I did say I was the president on my college application.
You bet your ass I did too. You, me, and Janine were all the president. It was correct.
We were all the presidents and all the members. So, one week, I was at the library, I saw the movie What's Up, Tiger Lily, and I, like, heard about it, and so I bought, or I didn't buy the movie, I guess in a way, I rented What's Up, Tiger Lily, and we watched it.
You checked it out from the library?
Yeah. And then, for, like, the next 6 years, I had this story about checking out What's Up, Tiger Lily.
And then losing it and never being able to go back to the library.
I lost it. That's it. I haven't thought about this story in so long. I forgot. Yeah, I lost it and never returned it. But it, like, was a bit.
Yeah, it just became a Shaggy Dog story thing.
Yeah, okay. That's what it was. So, like, anybody who hadn't heard the story, I would...
You would tell the most boring story in an incredibly long-winded way. And it got to the point that, like, our friends started using it as a bit to other people.
They, like, would go into it, like, really excited about this story, and they'd be like, okay, let me tell you the What's Up, Tiger Lily story.
Yeah, Ethan and Patrick would do that. Ethan in particular.
I may have told you this. I got a Facebook message, like, several years after the last time I told that story from someone I've never met. And it was, like, one of those things. You know how Facebook doesn't always show you a message if you're not friends with the person? They'll just, like, hide it and you have to, like, accept it or whatever. So I didn't see it for a long time. And then I finally found it long after they sent it and was like, so did you ever find What's Up, Tiger Lily? And I'd, like, forgotten about it entirely. And I was like, who is this person? How do they know about this? How far has this story gotten? And I think it was, like, an old coworker of Ethan's or something.
Yeah, yep.
I love it. Okay, so this ant, they build their nests under rocks, termite nests, or rotten wood. It's one of the most popular ants in the region. You can find it in India and the Cook Islands and Australia and everywhere in between. They have very small eyes on the front of their head, which I don't see how that's any different from most
ants. Yeah, that
ants.
Just sounds like an ant.
It's a regular ant. They also have abundant erect or semi-erect hairs all over their body.
I like that could have gone horny, and it made a very, very sharp right turn.
Yeah, ants aren't horny. That's a fact. That's a scientific fact.
They don't have horns.
They don't have horns. Well, some ants have horns.
Ants are Vossel.
Queen ant. That means nothing. I just yelled queen ant. That's what I called Beyonce.
All hail the queen of the ants.
Okay. Let's get into the final tribal council. So I think I mentioned it to you earlier, but you were, for whatever reason, playing Nelly over my conversation. So you might not have heard. I had to use the Entertainment Weekly recap to transcribe these notes because I forgot my notebook in Chicago, which had all the notes. It was 6 pages long, which is one more than my notes on this. So who's better? Us. We're better than Entertainment Weekly, right?
I think so.
When I think of Entertainment Weekly, I say, ew. Ew.com. That's literally their URL. Did you know that?
I know that. That's what I get for my ant puns.
As I got to the last page, the sixth page, I heard a voice coming from somewhere, and then I realized it was coming from my computer, and then I realized that it was a video of Seabass talking for whatever reason, and like an embedded video on the last page. It's like, I didn't need this at all. It was fun, though. At Final Tribal Council, Dominic and Wendell argue about who was the mastermind of their alliance. Kellen asks everyone who approached them to get in on the Dom and Wendell show. Most people say Dom, but a couple say Wendell. Then Laurel says that she approached them and that they would be gone if it weren't for her. Wendell points out that he tried to make genuine connections with other people. Oh, and then I didn't pick up on this, but somebody I think on Reddit did. He mentions he had conversations with Dez, and they talked about Kanye versus Chance versus other rappers, and then they cut to Chris.
Yep.
So good. So good. You were saying before we started recording that didn't like
this
jury.
Things that they have changed.
Yeah.
The fire challenge, good. The new jury format, bad.
Open discussion jury, yeah.
Because the jury will just fucking talk over the people that they're supposed to be asking questions. Like, they basically didn't ask them questions.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest question was from Kellen, and it was to the rest of the jury. Yeah, I don't know, I guess
It allowed people, and I think Kellen was it becomes a thing where, like, someone is leading the jury, and Kellen was leading the jury at this point, and it allows them to completely hijack.
And Michael, too, a little bit.
And Donathan.
Yeah, I...
Like, just have each person address them individually and ask them a question.
Yeah, that's classic Survivor. In 13 weeks, we will, you know, get the rat and the birds... What was it? Rats and Snakes. We'll get that Rat and Snake speech, which, like, made Tribal Council what it was for 18 years until Ko-Rong. Yeah, it's so much better. It gives the jury an opportunity to make their little speech, which...
Yeah, well, because it's...
Can go either way, honestly, but when it's good, it's so good. Well, with this, it's another Tribal Council.
And it also just, like, it allows either the jury to, like, it... Both can allow the jury to dominate the people that they are supposed to be making their case.
Done, you mate.
Yeah, yeah. And it shuts out certain, like, less vocal members of the jury because they can't get a word in edgewise. Whereas they get their own time.
Yeah, Angela
in the other
didn't
situation.
Say anything. Seabass barely said anything. Chris barely said anything. I don't think Libby said a word.
No, Libby didn't say anything.
Chelsea, I don't think, said anything. Yeah, it was Kellen, Michael, Dez said a little bit, and I guess Donathan. So three and a half people did the jury? I don't know. Yeah, I agree.
It's bad, and you get into a groupthink thing where it basically seemed like they were all just being like, we don't accept any of your arguments because we think Dominic should win.
Yeah. Yes. Although they... Contestants have said, going into Final Tribal, they already know who they're going to vote for, so this is all for show, mostly.
Yeah, but then give us the show! That's for us!
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Okay. So, they all vote, and then Jeff says he'll go get the votes, as he does at every Final Tribal Council. Then Donathan turns to Kellen and says, "Oh my god, it's over," like a kid on the last day of camp. And Jeff
also, did they just now start, like, doesn't he usually take them back and they read them later?
yes, Thomas, that is what usually happens. But this was a very unique tribal council, final tribal council vote.
So do you think they audibled on the spot because Jeff read the votes and saw that it was tied?
Well, I mean, he reads the votes before showing them off anyway. They're like, they know how the vote turns out as they're voting, obviously. So he returns with the urn in hand and says, with the biggest grin I have ever seen on this man's face, I'm going to read the votes. And then everybody freaks the fuck out. I think Kellen realized as soon as he said he was going to read the votes why he was going to read the votes right then. First vote goes to Dominic, second goes to Wendell, and then they just trade votes. About four votes in, Laurel realizes what's happening, Wendell realizes at six, and then with eight votes read, Dominic, it finally dawns on Dominic why the votes are being read there. And yeah, as we know now, they tied. So, Jeff tells Laurel that she is now the 11th member of the jury and will cast the deciding vote. Whoever she votes for wins Survivor. So my question is, why didn't she vote for herself? Seems like a loophole. Right? He didn't say you can only vote for Dominic and Wendell. She was never voted out. She could have voted for Laurel. Laurel would have won.
No, I mean, Laurel wouldn't have won.
She was
casting a... He only said that because she was casting a tie-breaking vote.
He said deciding vote, not tie-breaking vote. He said whoever's name is on...
Yeah, it's a deciding vote. God damn it, Jay.
No, I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying is Laurel should have voted for herself and won the whole game. Pretty sneaky, sis.
Oh, yeah. That's... She'll be on Ghost Island. The vote that she casts will be on the next Ghost Island season that they do, because she
could have
won.
Which will be,
won.
Like, two seasons from now. They love recycling teams quickly.
I was extremely confused because when they were getting ready to vote, I was like, all right, well, I'll skip forward to when they read the votes at the reunion, because they don't read them till then. And then I saw... he was like... We're doing one vote. I was like, what? And then I skipped back.
Yo, you skipped the whole thing.
And then I went back and watched it, but for a second I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, I rewatched it, like, at least three times. I rewatched it the first time just to see when everyone figured out what was happening. And then I rewatched it again on YouTube yesterday as I was doing the notes, because I just wanted to see it. So, she votes. Dominic knew as soon as she got up who she was going to vote for. Jeff goes back, collects the urn, and says, this vote, I'll save. And then he walks out, and he does not get on a jet ski. He does not get on a jet ski, nor a Jeff ski. And then he walks into the studio in L.A. And Jeff, we'll say this season was very good. I liked it a lot. One note, bring back the jet ski. People, every reunion, somebody says, Jeff, what happened to the jet ski? And he says, ah, ha, ha, that was a fun time. That's not an answer, Jeff. Bring me back the jet ski.
Bring it back, goddammit.
Okay, so he reads Laurel's vote, and it's for Wendell. Good job. Wendell won. Very happy with this result. So proud of myself for picking him out in the preseason.
Future Survivor players, if you want to win, you need to get the DYWSLN bump.
Yes.
Let this be a lesson to you.
It worked for our friend Wendell. It worked for our fratum Adam. That one is less good. Wendell, though, I looked this up. Wendell is the fifth millennial winner in a row.
Hell yeah.
So, get the fuck out, Gen X. Get out of here, baby boomers.
Kiss my ass, boomers.
So that's good. Finally...
Greatest generation? Not anymore.
Nuh-uh. Now it's millennials. Millennials are the greatest generation, and that's science, actually. So, here's everybody, the final three's final tally when they voted at Tribal Council. Wendell voted in 10 Tribal Councils. He voted correctly 8 times, 80%. Dominic voted in 11 tribal councils, voting correctly 9 times, never forget. And Laurel voted for the correct person at 13 of the 14 tribals in which she voted. So Laurel's the true winner.
Laurel should have gotten votes.
She should have gotten votes. It's rude that she didn't. That's honestly very surprising to me that she didn't. But
she just wasn't flashy.
She wasn't flashy, but I don't think Wendell was flashy either. Dominic was flashy. Dominic had enough flash for the three of them.
Wendell won multiple immunity challenges at the end there,
mm-hmm.
and I think was more physical. Like, I mean, Laurel was a good physical player, but I think he had an edge on her there.
Yes.
But I think she played a better social game than he did, and he played a really good social game.
Yeah, I think every person in the final three played a really good social game. I think we've talked about this in previous episodes, but this was a very social-heavy season. Everybody was playing the social game, except, like, Bradley and Angela.
Yeah, basically, I think that all three of them should have gotten $1 million.
I agree.
That's how I feel about it.
I agree.
I don't think I was ever going to be totally satisfied with any one of them winning, because I immediately felt bad for who lost.
Yeah.
I felt bad when Laurel got basically, you know, like, officially eliminated and had to cast that vote, and I felt bad when Dom won, but also felt good that Wendell won. Or, sorry, when Dom lost, but felt good that Wendell won, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no way I was going to be disappointed with the final outcome. I like all those people.
Yeah, they all deserve to win.
Imagine if Dom had brought Angela to the final three, and then she had to cast the final vote. That would have been so boring.
I got really mad just thinking about it.
Laurel, like, a lot of people complained about the season, that, like, people were under-edited. But I think once the finale aired and we figured out what happened, it makes a lot of sense why they
featured really good edit, yeah.
who they featured. The whole season was about Laurel's decision-making.
And it hinged on that, it hinged on that alliance and ultimately who developed the better relationship with Laurel. So, yeah.
And, yeah, everybody was saying, like, why isn't Laurel going for Dominic? Why isn't she pulling the trigger? She has every opportunity to. And then she finally did take Dominic out at the very last second. It's great. I love Laurel. I want her back as soon as possible.
They're absolutely going to bring her back.
Okay.
We should go through the cast and say who we think they'll bring back.
Okay. Can you pull up the cast list on your end? I don't think they'll bring Angela or Seabass back because they didn't really play a big role at any point and seem
I could see them bringing Seabass back. I think he'd be, like, for, like, a second chances type
maybe
game.
Maybe a second chances thing, not for a heroes versus villains, not for a blood versus water, not for a fans versus favorites. Maybe fans versus favorites. He's likable, but didn't do much.
All right, we'll go in order of them being eliminated. Okay. Stephanie Gonzalez,
who?
No. Jacob Derwin, absolutely not.
I don't know. I think they might. He's a big fan of the game. People really liked him preseason because he was goofy and fun. Apparently he sucks in real life, based on somebody I met who knows him. I would not be surprised if Jacob came back.
I don't remember who Morgan Rick is.
Morgan was in with Dom early on. They recognized their alliance and took Morgan out. Jacob won the legacy advantage, willed it to Morgan, willed it to Dom.
Yep, I remember who Morgan is. Yeah, no, I kind of like Morgan. I remember she got voted out a little too early.
She's a good candidate for a second chance season.
Yeah, I think she could come back. Brendan Shapiro will be back.
Oh, I forgot about Brendan.
Brendan will be back.
Yeah, I hope so.
Stephanie Johnson.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm not holding my breath.
No. I think James Lim might be back.
Smartest person who's ever been on the show, apparently.
Yep. He's only 24. He's got plenty of time to come back. Bradley.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, Chris Noble, probably.
Yes.
Libby, I hope so.
I hope so, too. She was a recruit, and I think now that she's got the game, she's got a little more experience with the game, she'll be even more of a force to be reckoned with if she
were
to
ever
come back. Yeah,
she was really, really picking it up fast.
And,
she was,
and the fact that she had, well, I don't know how much research she did beforehand, but she didn't apply to be on the show, she was picked.
Yep.
Okay. Who's next?
Desiree,
I don't
honestly,
think so.
I don't think so, yeah.
I don't think she made as big a splash as they thought she was going to.
No. Jenna.
I hope so. I like Jenna.
It'd be nice, but
April and the Bee, baby.
Yeah. Michael, I think he'll be back.
Yeah, Michael will definitely be back. He's 18, did you know?
Yeah. Chelsea, I think probably not, honestly.
I don't think so.
I think she was good and I think deserves to play another season, but they just didn't seem to have any interest in her.
Yeah, the editors, for whatever reason, just didn't want to put her on the show, which is unfortunate.
Kellen will be back.
Kellen will absolutely be back.
Kellen will 100% be back.
I want to see Kellen play with Spencer.
That would be interesting.
I think they're two very similar players, so they might not cast them on the same season, but if they did, if they did Heroes vs. Villains 2, Kellen on the Heroes tribe, Spencer on the Villains tribe, and they face off, that would be like Louise and Wes on the Challenge Champs vs. Stars 3 that's currently airing.
Sure.
Both Masterminds.
Seabass, maybe.
Maybe.
Donathan, I could see them bringing back.
They will definitely bring Donathan back.
Angela Perkins.
I don't know who that person is.
No. Laurel, yes.
Laurel,
Dom, yes.
Dom, yes. Wendell, yes.
Yeah. I could see them bringing Don.
Yeah,
really good.
Really good cast.
Great cast.
Okay, Thomas. Let's get into our points.
We already know. You won.
What?
I said we already know. You won.
Let's talk about this. So, last week you said you only want to guess Final Three. And I said, okay. And I'm 3 points ahead of you, which means you have to get everything right to tie with me. And I have to somehow lose a point. So I was at 30 points last week. I guess the Final Three would be Donathan in third, Laurel in second, and Wendell would win. I got 1 point for Wendell winning. 0 points anywhere else. Thomas, you picked Wendell to win, which he did. You got a point for that. You picked Dominic to take second, which he did. So you got a point for that. You picked Laurel to take third, which she did. And at the merge, you picked Wendell. So you were at 27 points last week. You're at 31 now. We fucking tied.
Oh!
And that's when I was tallying up the points,
incredible.
Literally my jaw dropped when I finally tallied it up. So I was like, oh no, he'll be one short. But no. Well done. Very proud of you.
I stuck with my boy, and look where it got me.
Yeah, good job. I love that the first season to ever end in a tie is also the first time that we ever tied in points.
Yep.
Wonderful.
It's like that fucking stupid George Lucas. Like, it's like poetry. It rhymes.
Over on the challenge, some shit happened. Kayla eliminated Ashley. Good stuff. Some other notes. Okay. So in my Word document, I have other notes, and that's just like the end, like the last segment. I never announce that it's called Other Notes, though. That's just for me. Okay, so this season we used Island in the Sun by Weezer to go out, obviously, and My Boo by Ghost Town DJs. I think the saddest thing about this season ending is we don't get to listen to that song anymore. I love that song so much.
It's really good.
I think I was at a bar or something, and that song came on, and whoever I was with, which was somebody I'm not close with, I just started telling them about this podcast that they were like, why are you talking to me?
I gotta. They're playing My Boo.
They're playing My Boo by Ghost Town DJs. You get it?
That really is like what. I'm so glad that was like a random part of a meme, so that it got dragged back up because it was a song no one had thought about in a long time, and it
which
deserved
is unfortunate
to come back.
A banger.
It's a fucking banger.
I also love it because it hits that ghost thing twice, both with the artist and Boo, like scary, like ghost. It's good. It's a good song.
It's like poetry, it rhymes.
Well, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, next week we're going to start watching Borneo. The first season ever premiered May 31st, 2000. I was 9 years old, and I didn't watch it. So we got to figure out some music to do for that one. Got any ideas straight off the dome immediately? I'll take that as a no. Okay.
No. Born to Run. I think I already made this joke, but...
Born to Run. If you did, I missed it. That's very good. Okay. That's the leading contender right now. I love it. If you've got any suggestions, you can hit us up on Twitter, DYWSLN, or me as Jake Shadell, or Thomas, Tom Not Tom. Thomas, I want to tell you the first episode's name. Do you know what it is?
I don't.
It's good. It's called The Marooning. How on-brand is that for, like, early 2000s reality TV?
Extremely on-brand.
You can find the whole season on Hulu and CBS All Access and probably elsewhere online. I'm really excited to watch this now. Oh, the people are back from their biking trip, so it's a good thing we're almost done. Hashtag Figtails on X's3 to get those guys on, what's it called? The Challenge, X's3, Battle of the X's3. Already said Twitter, Facebook is also there. Review us on iTunes. Hey, season's over. Thomas, hit us with that boilerplate review again.
5-star review. Has to be 5 stars.
Okay.
this is my favorite podcast. I like it better than all the other podcasts. I give it a big thumbs up.
You know what I give a big thumbs up? Memorial Day, because it's the first weekend of summer. Speaking of which...
Memorial Day, more like Wheel Day.
Why would you ruin it? I had such a great... outro. Have a great summer.
Deuces. When you're on.
When you drink, at what point do you prep your lips to intake the beverage? This was a big debate yesterday.
What the fuck are you talking about?
We were all, you know, out in the lake swimming, having some brews, you know, having a cold one with the boys, and Bridget, 21, was like drinking her drink, and... she made fun of her dad, Elvin, because he, like, you can't see my hands, but his arm was completely outstretched, and then as he started moving his arm in to drink his drink, he pursed his lips so early on, so we made fun of him for the rest of the day.
Wait, what? Yeah, okay, I thought you meant, like, I mean, that's still a weird thing to say, because the idea of prepping for it at all is insane.
Like, right?
The idea
that, like, as soon as it
like
your mouth,
it's like,
right?
I have to remember to purse my lips, otherwise I'm gonna put it, my mouth's gonna be closed.
He's like, it saves so much time.
No!
No, it
what
doesn't!
What the fuck are you talking about? There's no time saved!
He swears by it, though, and he, like, does it even more so, more intentionally now. Because he knows it bothers everyone. It's a good
time. It takes the same... That's a great dad move to...
Yeah, oh yeah.
Do something like that to bother someone, but also, like... Yeah, it takes the same amount of time to bring the drink to your lips. Like...
I kept saying, it's multitasking, you know? As you raise the drink. And then it was like, you're holding your drink too close to your body. What are you talking about?
Dropping that dad wisdom on drinks. Nah, you're doing that drink all wrong. Now I'm just imagining a movie scene, like, where you're on a date, and, you know, it's like, where, you know, like, showing someone how to do a golf swing or, like, bowling or whatever, and it's, like, kind of sexy, because, you know, like, you're touching the person, but it's, like, Let me show you how to drink this drink. Just like holding onto the arm and lifting it up, like.
Okay, now do your lips. Now get your lips ready. You've only got like half a second to do this.
What'd that mouth do? Oh, fuck.
Oh, no, you did it wrong. You should have learned how to do this as a baby. How can you be so bad at it? Yeah, so now it's all I can think about. Now I can only think about what my lips are doing at all times. Which I guess I should be doing anyway, huh?
Jake's thinking about what that mouth do.
Basil! There's a new person just came in, and Basil, the dog, is excited.
That's a good boy right there.
Basil, you know her. Okay, I'm cutting all this out. This is a very loud dog. Basil, why are you freaking out? Basil, it's okay. Yeah, I know. Do you want to go outside? I'm going to let this dog out.
That one bark was a yes.
Come on. All right.
I like that when you asked Basil if Basil wanted to go outside, you got one bark in response, like, yes!
I do! Okay.